Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I am your host, Matthew Perkovic, and this is episode number 603. Available now on YouTube is Screams Before Silence, a documentary that delves into the October 7 terrorist attacks committed by Hamas against the citizens of Israel, particularly against women who are subjected to barbaric sexual abuse. Presented by Sheryl Sandberg and featuring interviews with eyewitnesses, experts and survivors of the October 7 massacre, Screams Before Silence is a confronting yet pivotal reminder to never forget the inhumane atrocities committed by Hamas on that day. And joining me now is the director of Screams Before Silence, Miss Anat Stalinsky. Anat, thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you.
So the documentary went on YouTube around 7 days ago. We have 680,000 views so far of the documentary. So people have been watching it. What type of reactions have you gotten so far from people who have watched the documentary now that it has gone global and it's out there and so many hundreds of thousands of eyes have watched it now?
Yeah, I also a lot of people watching it on their website. So we're almost a million. We have almost a million watchers, people who watched that so far. And it's growing every second, which is amazing. And this is all we wanted, and more people to watch. Like, I really want everyone to watch the movie. And the reactions are very strong. People telling us the movie affected them, that it was very compelling, and that it was difficult to watch, but important. And that now that they've watched, they feel like they're bearing witness. This is also what we wanted. So I feel the reactions are as I hoped they would be.
How did this documentary come about? Was Sheryl involved with it first and you came on? Did you go on first and she came on? How did it all kind of originate?
Well, the producer, one of the producers, Ethan Schwartz, was even in the second day of war already after the October 7th. He was in the South and he understood that something very bad in that aspect was happening, and that there were committed a lot of sexual atrocities that no one is talking about at that moment. And he came to the other producer, Manny Aviram, from Castina Productions Company, and suggested to do a documentary about this subject. And then they approached me, since this is what I do, I direct movies and series. And then we thought about who could be the face of it, who could lead it. And we approached Sheryl, and she agreed immediately. And that's how the process went.
When you approach to delve into this kind of material, even though we know how important it is, you know you're going to be faced with some very confronting testimony, confronting visuals. Is there any apprehension on your part to maybe not go through with it, or is it so important and so vital that this goes out there that those apprehensions have to be placed to the side?
I agreed immediately. Like, I didn't even think about it. Like, I said yes instantly. I felt a calling, actually. Like, I have to do this. And I didn't think about how it's going to affect me. I thought about it afterwards when I was deep into the process and it was too late. But, you know, a lot of people who I suggested to work with me on this documentary, video editors, researchers, different people, a lot of them didn't agree. They said that it's really important, but they cannot deal with that, understand that. You see, but the movie, it's difficult that we do not show any graphic visuals, yes, of anything at all, almost, at the documentary, because we want people to be able to watch it. So we decided on a kind of slight line that we're walking on, which is, it's hard to say, delicate in this subject, but in a way it is. It's hard. It took its toll to deal with that, but what the meaning it gave me is much more than the difficulties of it.
For me, something I really took from the documentary is that it's very important that this testimony is put out there, because it's a battle against misinformation. There's so much misinformation about what happened that day. A lot of people either denying things have happened or trying to brush things on the side. And what Screams Before Silence does is say, no, these things did happen, and they could be just even worse than what you heard. And I think it's really unfortunate that a lot of the times, I think at the end of the day, it's unfortunate that this documentary has to be made, because if people were doing their jobs in the first place, this subject will be front and center all the time in the themes within it, in the stories within it all the time. But here we are. And I think something that's really important of what you do here is you take that raw footage and you really do present it in a way, as you said before, that while it shows the truth, doesn't get too, what's the word I'm looking for, too explicit. Because I think if it was explicit, it would be too much for people to handle. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yes, of course. You're right. We really chose not to go too explicit with the visuals and not too explicit in the way that the people speak. Although we say people, the testimonies are really horrific. Yeah, for people to be able to watch it. Exactly.
A big important process of documentary filmmaking is, of course, getting people to interview and prepping their interview subjects as well. Considering some of the people interviewed in the film were people that were in the massacre or survivors of the massacre. And this is only several months ago. We're talking like, you know, October. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was it difficult to try to get people to come forward to talk about it? Or much like yourself, did they want to jump at the chance to make sure that their story was told and come forth and tell what they saw to make sure that if the world actually opens their ears and listens?
It's very individual, and there were people who we approached to and they said immediately, yes, I have to tell the story, I feel it's my duty, although it's very hard to talk about, very difficult, I'm going to come and talk. There were people who not agreed immediately. They said they understand the importance of it, but sitting in front of a camera and talking about this very traumatic experiences, it's very difficult. You know, it's different than maybe getting an interview in the newspaper without your even name on it, and sitting in front of the camera, being yourself, telling the story, telling the trauma. It's hard. And so not everyone reacted in the same way. Some people wanted to think about it more and not agreed immediately, understood how the movie is big, how the importance of this movie, how it's going to be international and what we are doing with it in Cheryl, of course. So, and then they said yes. And some people didn't agree to talk. So there were people who went through and witnessed a lot of things that related to the movie's subject, and they couldn't be able to talk right now. Maybe they will step forward in the future, maybe never. You know, in the movie, people who we took an interview in the movie, I think Professor Ruth Halperin Kadari said that a lot of the witnesses and a lot of the victims will take years for them to come out and speak, and maybe never. So we made it so close to the event. We actually shoot the movie in February. It's like a few months after October 7th. So it's like it's shooting while the thing is still happening in a way. And, you know, in Gaza, the hostages are going through the hell right now. So when I meet Susanna, gave her amazing and tremendous and really powerful interview, her friends, the hostages in Gaza, still going through what she went through. So it's unbelievable, actually. We don't have the perspective. We're not talking like about movies about the Holocaust, like years after, you know, or about the big wars. Or no, it's happening right now. We are doing the documentary right now as it happens. So everyone who came forward and spoke, although it was really emotional and really not easy process to anyone who spoke in the movie, I'm so grateful and I'm so honored and I'm really in awe, because it takes a lot of courage to speak. And if you're a victim of this or if you're a witness in some way, it takes a lot to sit in front of the camera and tell the thing.
There's a moment in the film where yourself and Cheryl are at the Nova Music Festival massacre site, which has now become like a shrine almost to what happened that day to the victims. You're interviewing Mika Ohana, who's one of the survivors of that day.
Michal Ohana, yes. Mm-hmm.
Excuse my mispronunciation. Mm-hmm. A loud bang it comes off in the background. She gets scared straight away and it becomes too much for her, and you come and you give her a hug. You let her know it's okay, it's all right. When moments like that happen, how do you feel as a filmmaker at that time? Do you feel like you have to make sure that you are there to make sure that you can be there as a source of comfort, as well as a person who's trying to capture that moment as well. Because I imagine when that happens and reaction is that intense on her part, it's something that might be, I don't know how to say it, on your part might be a very intense experience emotionally to witness that and be part of it.
It's an amazing question. Thank you for that. Actually, I work in this industry a lot of years. I've done different projects. I think that moment was maybe one of the most difficult moments in my job, in my work. Like, she heard the sound and she became scared and she came to me and I hugged her. And at that moment, I felt there was no conflict between the person who's giving comfort and the person who wants it to be captured for the documentary. I just understood that the most important is for her to feel safe. I saw the trauma and we took her to the place where the trauma happened. She wanted to go and she's been there before. It's not the first time, but still she's there at the place where tremendous trauma happened to her and to her friends. And it's all came, like, you know, and the sound, and immediately it all happened, and then and we stopped. I understood that I have to, like, stop, but I think, you know, it speaks for itself. Nothing to be said afterwards, you know. What else can you ask? It's so true, and it's so authentic what happened, and you can see how this young girl is affected by what she went through. So it was really, really, really intense moment. And that second, I didn't think about the editing. I didn't think I was going to put it into the movie. I just was there. And then in the editing room, when we saw that moment, we understood, like, it's powerful and should be in. But at that moment, I felt like I didn't have anything. I just have to hug her, and that's it.
Please support Matt's movie reviews on Patreon. Get access to exclusive content, request movie reviews and top 10 lists, and help support my work. Please click on the Patreon link in the description below. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by TeePublic. TeePublic is the world's largest marketplace for independent creators to sell their work on the highest quality merchandise. With over 1.2 million designs, TeePublic is sure to have something you will love. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by Amazon. The world's leading online store, Amazon is your first stop to buy a wide range of products at competitive prices with fast delivery times. Amazon is also a world-class entertainment hub that includes Prime Video, Audible, Twitch, Amazon Music, and more. Sign up with Amazon today and experience the best in online shopping and entertainment. Another survivor who I think she was also a hostage that was recently released as well around that time. And again, I'm going to excuse me for my mispronunciation. Amit Salzana. She spoke about how what she went through, and she spoke how she felt like yourself. It was her calling, her duty to talk on behalf of those who can't. When people watch this movie and they see the bravery that people like Amit have and how they talked about their feelings, is the hope also that other people in other circumstances who might have dealt with sexual violence or abuse as well maybe can find the courage within themselves or inspiration from what these women went through and how they can come forward to speak, that maybe they can speak as well? Because I know here in Australia, violence against women has become a very pivotal issue here, to the point where it's been called a national crisis only a couple of days ago. And I think in other places as well, I think the UK are having similar things over there as well. So I think it's important that voices like Amit's is out there to talk about this stuff, not only in regards to what happened that day, but just in general regarding sexual abuse and violence against women. I think it's very important that she did that, and her taking on that mantle in a sort of way and speaking forward, I think says a lot about her, about her character, and also about, you know, her priorities as well. I think it's very vital that she did that.
I totally agree. I think what she did was inspirational in so many ways. She's a violent of sexual violence, Unfortunately, she's a victim of sexual violence. And unfortunately, this happens around the world to a lot of women around the world, not only in the at wars. So for us, you know, all of us to watch a woman who this really enormous trauma happened to her, and she comes out and speaks about it, and it happened very recently. Again, it takes a lot of time usually to people, sometimes 20 or 30 years, you know, to confront and to talk about. So, and she's talking about it, and she's saying in the movie, at first I felt ashamed and guilty, even though I know it's not my fault. Of course, it's not her fault. She's been assaulted by a terrorist, but she felt that those feelings, which are natural to feel, and she decided to talk about it. First, that when she talks about it, it makes her feel better, makes it feel more okay with that. It's not okay that it happened, of course, but makes her feel released from that. And I think it's a great inspiration for any woman out there who unfortunately went through something like that in that way or another. So yes, I think it's very inspirational to come out and talk and say, yeah, it happened to me. It's not my fault. And I'm talking about it. I'm not going to feel ashamed about it. Just talking about it. She's the most inspiring woman I ever met. Susanna, the most powerful, the most strong, the most brave, like the most.
There's a line from the film that has stuck with me ever since I watched it.
Let me guess.
I forgot who. You go ahead.
Yeah. When the body of the woman is humiliated, you humiliate the whole nation, right?
Yeah, so the body of a woman symbolizes the body of a whole nation.
Yes, and when you humiliate the body of the woman, you actually humiliate the whole nation, yeah. Professor Ruth Halperin Kadari said that.
And when I heard that, it was a wake-up call kind of thing, because at first I still to this day you can't understand the type of evil and barbarity, the mutilation and such that these terrorists did on that day. But clearly it was an intentional use of degrading the nation as a whole in a humiliation of their women. I mean, that's something that we definitely can agree on from all of this, right?
Of course.
And I think it's just remarkable that no one ever talks about that. And I think, again, it comes down to we just live in such a fast-paced society now that something as pivotal as a moment like October 7, where inhumanity and evil at its worst is shown towards us, that can just be brushed aside away. And I know we're living in a very preoccupied time, but even yourself as a person who's been in the industry, film, news, media, whatever have you, that still has to be shocking. I imagine it would be shocking to you as well, to so many people outside of Israel, especially in Western countries as well, where other things are happening. They're not even talking about these issues right now. It's deplorable to me, I think.
The denial, you mean?
Yes, well, also just the ignoring it, not talking about it. It's one thing to deny it. It's another thing to know that it happened, but
to be silent
talking about it. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, like the silence of the women organizations at the beginning, a very long way through, months after the all worldwide women organizations were silent. It's like, you know, I don't know if you heard about it. It's like Me Too unless you're a Jew. I don't know if you heard that phrase. Mm. You know, because otherwise, I don't know how to treat that. I mean, our women were raped and sexually assaulted, and it happened not one, not two, not 10, not 20, not 200, okay? Which is insane. And people are silent about it. It's unthinkable. I think this is why the importance of the movie is so big. And in the movie, we are not talking about that. We are not... just only one time we say something slight about denial, just one line in the movie, but we're not talking about the silence, and we're not talking about the denial, because we just want to show the world what happened. Just watch. I'm not going to convince you, I'm not going to get apologetic or confront you about why the denial or why the ignorance. I just want you to watch. Also, you know, the ignorance of what's going on in the campuses right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, rape is not a resistance, you know. Rape is no way of freedom fighting. It's not, simply not. And people, they have like maybe a problem with the narrative of that, so they're just ignoring the rape part and thinking about, you know, war between two parts, which is not true. And this is why the denial. This is why the people are just don't want to think about it. Oh no, it didn't happen. Or not talking about it, but it happened. It big time happened. So all we want to do is like to show the world. Just watch what happened. That's all. You don't have to say anything. Just watch. So this is
my final question. The first scenes of the movie, Cheryl is walking through. And again, I'm sorry for my mispronunciation. Kfar Azar.
Yes.
She's walking through there, and you see the remains, the remnants of the violence that happened there. It felt very heavy watching it from the other side of the world through a screen. What's the feeling like while you're there walking through that area? And does it feel like, I don't know, it kind of felt like that there was a fog or a black cloud over it that's never going to part. Is that what it felt like? And do you ever think that, I don't know, in the future, maybe the light will shine on that area again? Or do you think that there'll be a constant darkness over that area there?
Wow, I don't know. Emotional question for me. First of all, to be there, I cannot describe in words the experience of being there. It's not like anything else.
Mm.
It's not, you just see houses of people who just been here and you see the murder and you see the devastation, and you see everything, and it's huge streets of that. You walk through streets of that. Experience. I don't know. It's like science fiction. I don't know even how to call it. And yeah, and it's very dark. Although the sun is in Israel is very hard. It's very dark. It is a big cloud there. You're right. You're completely right. I want to hope the sun will come back, but I don't know. I want to hope. You know, we are a very strong nation. We're strong people. We fall and we arise. And I think it's not only us here. I think it's something that, you know, the humanity is like that. People fall and arise out of really big crises and a very big trauma. So I do hope it will happen to us as a nation, as women, and specifically those people in Kfar Azar and other kibbutzim places who went through this, and their house were completely devastated and everything. So yes, I hope the sun will arise again, but it will take time. But it will happen. It has to happen. Otherwise, you know, the history, I feel like the history is circling, but I think it's like a spiral. I think we're not going to go back to the same point after the full circle will be completed. I think something better will happen afterwards to all of us, not only here in Israel, to all the people. Maybe we reach to some level, which is so, I don't even have the word, but so extreme that now the humanity has to like, and the civilization and, you know, the human principles will have to take over, and like the course of the things will have to be changed. Otherwise, I don't know where we're going if that happened. Really, fundamental things won't be changed. We're going.
Well, I think you really shone a light with this documentary, and I think it's a light that has shone brightly and transparently, and has showed the naked truth about what happened that day. And it's very important that you did so. Everyone out there, you can go to screamsbeforesilence.com, the website, to watch the film there. You can watch it on YouTube as well. And, you know, Anat Stalinsky, I've got to say, you have delivered an incredibly powerful documentary. And I think you've delivered something that is vitally important, I think, as well, with just everything that's going on, to be able to presents the voices of these of the people that were involved in that day. I think it's just incredibly, incredibly moving. When I was watching it, I was angry, I was sad, but at the end of the day, I was also just relieved that finally their voices can be heard, because right now the world is just a billion people talking at once, and the people that we need to hear more than anything else are the people that are in your documentary. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for that and for your time and for inviting me to speak with you. It's really means a lot. Thank you so much.